SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid Noon on the East. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock covering you every day until 2 p.m. And hopefully you guys are having a good start to your Thursday. We're going to keep it going, give you some FanDuel odds over in the fantasy world and the reality world as well. Help you make some good decisions today if you're considering making any wagers. I know that games are starting in baseball here coming up in about 20 minutes. Of course, follow us on Twitter at Sports Grid. We got a lot of headlines to get to, which will include a no-hitter. But Davis, we start off with some surprising news coming this morning with LaMarcus Aldridge. Once upon a time, one of the great players in the NBA, has been in the news, of course, recently for switching teams. And now it looks like his career, unfortunately, is over. Something, you know, sort of came out of the blue this morning. And we obviously wish him the best of health, but heart issues are gonna send his career over. A great career, by the way, for him too, as well. But surprising to see this morning.
Yeah, apparently he said that in the last game he played for the Nets, he felt an irregular heartbeat, and I cannot imagine how crazy that has to feel to be playing professional sports and like understand that your body is out of your control doing something that can harm you, you know, in the short term and in the long term. And then he missed last night's game for the Brooklyn Nets against the 76ers. And we thought it was just because, you know, they were resting him. They were resting Blake Griffin. But, you know, apparently he was literally mulling no longer playing professional basketball. So some of that hand-wringing about the Brooklyn Nets dominating the buyout market, you know, getting all of these guys to come to the team, apparently, you know, a little bit of that probably was overwrought.
Yeah, and now I think at the Nets at this point, I mean, certainly he was an extra piece to their team, but probably an important piece for the playoffs. So we'll see what the Nets are able to do. But that certainly was a shocking story this morning. And most importantly, wishing Aldridge the best of health. That's especially with a situation like this. Can't say that enough. All right, let's go through our other headlines here on this Thursday. And we'll start off with the almost perfect game, but no hitter last night for Carlos Rodon against the Cleveland Indians. Saved by Jose Abreu, hit a batter, which eliminated the perfect game. But we'll hear from Rodon in just a second. The Houston Astros are heading on the road after losing four straight to Detroit. They will not have Altuve, Bregman, or Alvarez on this road trip due to COVID-19 protocols. They also have a separate sickness going on in the clubhouse. Weird stuff happening with Houston. Luka hits an amazing shot last night against the Grizzlies, ran off the court. We've seen this many times with Luka. He's hit a few game winners. He did it again yesterday. Another huge game for Steph Curry, 42 points, 30-plus points in six straight games, just on a tear since he's been back. And then today is Jackie Robinson Day, four games getting ready to start this hour. We'll have updates throughout the show. But last night, first and foremost, on the diamond, the second no-hitter of the Major League Baseball season, and it was almost a perfect game. In the ninth inning, Carlos Rodon of the White Sox, who was just cruising along, hadn't given up a walk or a hit or an error, ended up hitting the Indians catcher, Roberto Perez, and talked about hitting him and losing the perfect game, but still getting the no-hitter.
I've played against Perez for quite a while now. I was just like, hey, that gets you? And he was like, yeah, it got me. So I was just like, that was the only exchange. It wasn't nothing like nothing mean at all. Just curious. Yeah, it was, what was the count? 1-2, I think, or maybe it was 1-2 count. And I wanted to lighter, obviously got it. And it was just one of those where like you think back foot, but obviously you don't want to put it on his back foot. And he did the right thing. He stayed in there. He said, I'm gonna let it hit me. You're getting a perfect game. And I would do the same thing if I was hitting. You got to earn it.
Funny way to end that game yesterday, Davis, where the perfect game is gone. And it's like we're talking about that more a little bit than even the no-hitter day, just because a perfect game is so rare in baseball. But Rodon was not on anybody's fantasy radar this spring, Davis. Zero, zip, zilch, none. So this is just one of the great stories at the start of the season.
Yeah, very cool story. I've actually always really liked Carlos Rodon. You know, a guy just gets it up there. He was throwing 99 miles an hour in the ninth inning yesterday because you could just tell he was jazzed up. Like, this is something I love about baseball that I kind of wish – I mean, baseball is marketed so poorly to people my age. We've gone over this so much on the show. But, like, that was just a very cool moment to see him touching 99 in the ninth inning. And he just clearly wanted it, right? Like, he's like, I want the no-hitter. I want the perfect game. Yeah, can't be mad at Roberto Perez. Like, whatever. You know, it's not a perfect game. That's okay. No hitter, still pretty cool. Carlos Rodon will be telling his, you know, his grandchildren about the no hitter that he got against the Cleveland Indians. You know, just a very cool moment. And I just love when people are paying attention to baseball. I mean, it just, you know, it's a little bit kinder of a space on Twitter when people are paying attention to baseball and it's not all NFL draft props, you know.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, the NFL is king, and really pretty much starting next week, that'll be the focus for everyone. I think what bothers me a little bit about that is, look, I know that I'm a you know, even though I follow football and cover college and pro football just as much as baseball, because I report on baseball, I think that I'm known for being a baseball first person, which is totally cool. What bothers me is just the fact that the major networks that cover sports now just completely ignore the sport. Like, I don't know how we got here to that, and it must be the right move, because ratings will tell the story, and I suppose it is just way more interesting to talk to somebody who covers the Bengals about who they may pick in the third round as opposed to just covering a baseball game. I guess that is more compelling right now, but it's not for me. Like, I still think that action and games that are going on are going to be more important than speculating things weeks out. But no one agrees with me on that. NBA fantasy standouts are next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the show. Craig Mitch, David Fanatic, our producer Brett Levy joins us here to talk a little NBA fantasy standouts. We've got some baseball ones as well. Three players yesterday in baseball, by the way, hitting two home runs apiece. So we'll get to that in just a sec. First, let's cover the NBA as we're really in the stretch run now of the regular season. And we'll start off with Steph Curry, who had another monster game. 42.6 rebounds, 8 assists for the Warriors yesterday. How about a triple-double for Draymond Green? 12 points, 10 rebounds, 16 assists for Draymond, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. Russell Westbrook, you could just pencil in a triple-double every day for this guy. 25 points, 15 rebounds, 11 assists, and 4 steals. Kyrie Irving last night had 37, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, and 1 block, but it was not enough against Joel Embiid and the Sixers, as when Embiid has been on the court this year, you can make the case he has been as close or better than anybody on the court this year. He's had a great year, 39 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks. And I think, Davis, when you look at it, Embiid is probably not going to win the NBA MVP, but you could also say that maybe he is as or more valuable to his team than anybody else in the league, because simply put, when he plays and plays well, the Sixers almost look unstoppable.
Yeah, so Embiid has played in only 37 games this year. It's going to be a 72-game season. He'll probably I don't know the exact amount of games that the 76ers have left on the schedule. Probably about 50 games is what Embiid is going to play. He is clearly I think that LeBron is the best player in the NBA. I think that Jokic has been the MVP this season, but there is probably an argument that when he plays, Embiid is the most impactful player in the context of his team. He is a career 32% shooter from the mid-range. This season, he is shooting 61% on mid-range jump shots. He has just completely transformed that element of his game. He's averaging 29 points a game, 11 rebounds. You know, he's averaging over a steal per game. He's averaging over 3 assists per game, over a block and a half per game. I actually think that other than Rudy Gobert, Embiid is the best defensive player in the NBA as well. So, I mean, it sucks for him that he got injured. I actually think that with this Jamal Murray injury, had Embiid been healthy this whole time, Embiid would now have been favorite for the MVP.
Yeah, I agree with that. And look, I think that's, Brett, always the case with Embiid, is that something to think about, I think, going into next year too, that, like, let's say, for example, he's in the top 5 on FanDuel as far as having the, let's say, shortest odds to win the MVP. At this stage, Brett, do you just think you absolutely have to bake in 15 missed games, 10 missed games, like something? Because it just seems like every year it is something, and it's not just of the load maintenance variety.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can't really just say this guy gets injured every year. That's kind of unfortunate to put on someone. But Embiid obviously has had injury problems throughout his career, whether it's been his foot or his back, or a few other things. When he came into the league, he missed his entire rookie season. So, I mean, I definitely understand where you're coming from. But, you know, Jokic just had an unbelievable year for just about anyone on the planet. And he happens to play the same position as Joel Embiid, and he's been healthy. So that's probably why Joel is so hurt, because, you know, LeBron's missed games. He's been in the MVP conversation all year. Giannis has missed some games, another guy who's been in the MVP conversation. So a different year, we could be looking at the entire top 5 missing some games, versus this year we've had a really healthy player dominate the entire NBA from start to finish in Jokic.
Yeah, I mean, look, I understand, Brett, what you're saying, and I think that you never want to just say, Davis, somebody is injury prone, and Brett definitely has been in the league, and he understands that. It's not fair to do that, but the first 2 years of his career, he didn't play. Then he missed 40 games. Then he missed 20, 18, 30, and now I don't know what the number will be this year, another 20, something like that. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I won't say that he's injury prone. I just will say that I'll never pick him to win the MVP. I guess that's where it comes down to.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's probably fair. Yeah. I mean, so the thing with Embiid is a lot of the injuries he's had have been to his foot. So he did not play in 2014, 2015, didn't play in 2015, 2016. So he's a little bit older than you realize, too. He's 27, though he's only played 5 NBA seasons. I mean, the issue is big guys in their feet, that doesn't get better, right? Like once you are a 7-footer who's had a foot injury, that doesn't heal itself over the course of your career.
Yeah. And Brett, you remember Yao Ming, right? It was like, you know, had the similar foot injuries, leg injuries. Was it back? I think it was foot though with him, right?
Yeah, it was foot injuries with Yao, but you know, he struggled. Obviously it ended his career. But, you know, Joel, where sports medicine is today, probably has a better shot of prolonging his career. And, yeah, Yao tried to play through it. Joel, they've been very cautious with it, as you mentioned. So maybe it hasn't had as much long-term damage as Yao's foot.
Yeah. Well, bottom line, Brett, Sixers will be in the playoffs. If Embiid plays in every game, they got a great shot to win the East. If he doesn't, they have none. I think that's pretty much it. All right, Brett, we'll catch up a little bit later. Let's go to our baseball fantasy standouts from last night. How about 2 home run games? If that's your thing, then Wednesday night was your night. Bo Bichette hit 2. Aaron Judge hit 2. Ronald Acuna Jr. hit 2. And that's where we'll start today, with Bichette, Judge, and Acuna all going deep twice. Really good to see Judge hitting 2, by the way. That's really the big name that, if healthy, is going to have a monster season. And then in terms of pitching, it was another huge game for Corbin Burnes, who won yesterday. 10 strikeouts, 6 innings pitched, no walks on the season, and 30 strikeouts. That is just unbelievable. Carlos Rodon pitched the no-hitter, and David Peterson had his best game as a pro, too. 6 innings pitched, 1 earned run. How about Peterson with just 3 hits and 10 strikeouts yesterday, and basically totally turning his performance around, got banged up pretty good against Philadelphia in his last start, but the manager of the Mets, Luis Rojas, says that he made the adjustments that were necessary after getting smacked around a week ago.
He's up for adversity, and you know, he wanted the ball. He wanted to, come in and pitch. You saw it from the first inning. I mean, he came in attacking. He got two strikeouts out of the first three batters, and then he kept rolling, kept throwing the ball the same way, mixing pitches, spotting the fastball, pitching inside. Like I've been saying, with conviction. I think this kid doesn't get in his head. He just goes and corrects what he needs to correct, and you know, he goes after it. So you got to give the kudos to him. Going six innings allowing one run against a team that he struggled against a week ago.
Davis, really, this is interesting because the Mets, he was not really anyone on anyone's radar also. Like, we went through, like, the deep Mets starting pitching staff. Peterson is almost never mentioned. In fact, Lucchese was the odd man out to start the season. Now they'll need him again for having a fifth starter. But, look, he has my attention. 10 strikeouts in six innings. I got to start monitoring him. It may be too late because he's being picked up in a lot of leagues.
Yeah, I wonder if there's something more going on there. I need to look at his Statcast and his batted ball data. I wonder if he is either added to his spin rate, added a pitch. Also, something that these guys do, they can develop a sinker. So, you know, these guys have the high fastball and then they have the sinking fastball. And we don't talk about those guys as three or four pitch pitchers. But obviously, those pitches behave in different ways. So I need to look a little bit deeper into him.
Yeah, and we will as we roll on. But games are about to get started here in baseball. We got to get to our DFS baseball selections for the day. So coming up next, we'll go right through it, tell you about the top price pitchers, first base, second base, third base, all around the diamond. Also give you lineups for the afternoon games as well for those of you who are planning on playing DFS or wagering on the game as well. Also, a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk some NFL draft. So make sure you stay tuned for that as Patrick Corain is going to join Davis to discuss where some of the top picks should be going coming up in 2 weeks from tonight. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today. Our DFS opinions are next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. Afternoon baseball is underway, and so we got to jump into some DFS very quickly here. One game is in a rain delay. The Mets and the Philadelphia Phillies and the Miami Marlins and Atlanta Braves are going at it right now as we speak. So let's dive in real quick, Davis, and look at some potential pitching options tonight on FanDuel. And by the way, not great. It just kind of shows you that we're still in that early part of the season where the ones are facing the ones and the twos are facing the twos. I feel like we're at the threes or fours today. And Lance Lynn, after the no-hitter last night from his teammate, is at 10,200 tonight. You know he's getting deep into the game. How is Steven Matz, 9,800? Wow, at the top there. Julio Urias, 9,600. Aaron Civale of the Indians, 9,400. Michael Pineda back on the scene at 8,800. Ian Anderson underway right now against Miami at 8,600. Davis, who do you like for pitching today and tonight?
So for the day slate, definitely Lance Lynn is going to be your top option. He's going to go deep in that game. You're absolutely right. Going to face a team that just came off getting no hit last night. Definitely a good spot, I think, for him. For the night slate, there are a couple different strong options, I think. So Julio Urias, obviously, I mean, he just has this incredible matchup tonight against Colorado. We have him as our top projected pitcher. Some other guys who are available in the night slate, it definitely gets thin after Julio Urias, Rich Hill, Patrick Corbin, Sean Manaea, the aforementioned Steven Matz. And, you know, if I can go against my Kansas City Royals guys, you're definitely going to get a very attractive ownership percentage on Steven Matz. No one is going to want to pay $9,800 for him. And I love my Royals, but a lot of swing and miss in that lineup. Santana, Soler, those guys strike out a bunch. The bottom half of the order strikes out a bunch. And Andrew Benintendi, you and I both kind of like this trade from them in the offseason. It's not working out. Benintendi looks bad. We need Bobby Witt up, and we need him quick because it's not working out with Benintendi right now.
Yeah, still early, but he looks exactly like he did last year, other than stealing a few bases. All right, over to first base we go. Vlad Jr. At home, 4,200. Freddie Freeman, 4,100. It's underway right now. Hosmer's at 3,800. As Drubal Cabrera, who's done fairly well, 3,400. Abreu at 34. And then Josh Bell, who's back with Washington now, 3,400 here. So who are you picking at first base today?
Yeah, so for the night slate, I like Jacob Junis a little bit. He's been working with this cutter, you know, kind of a new fastball delivery for him that has been working out. But the Blue Jays, I mean, come on, they are just absolutely crushing the cover off of the ball right now. So we gotta like Vlad Jr. However, Rowdy Tellez has been batting sixth or seventh for them, and now Rowdy Tellez, I mean, he's not, you know, this guy is not Jose Abreu, right? This guy is not Mark McGwire in his prime, but he is a left-handed batter, so he's got the platoon, you know, for at least his first two or three at-bats, and he is a really strong power hitter. And, you know, we were talking about on the show yesterday with your cheap guys, you want the power hitters. You want guys who are going to hit home runs when they do make contact. And Rowdy Tellez is $2,100 on FanDuel, so I really like him tonight against Jake Junis.
All right, over to second base we go. Whit Merrifield is priced at $4,000 today over on FanDuel's DFS site. Marcus Semien at $3,500. McMahon has been steady all week at $3,500. Joey Wendell, $34. Chris Taylor, $33. And Max Muncy at $3,200. The Dodgers are off to an unbelievable start offensively, defensively, pitching. And it seems like whoever they call up is playable here. I can't believe this. Zach McKinstry? I never heard of this guy before the year. He's like the hottest guy on their team right now. It's just crazy.
Yeah. All the Dodgers eligible at second base. Chris Taylor, Max Muncy, McKinstry, and Gavin Lux are all rating as strong plays in our projections over on dailyroto.com. Brandon Lau against Jordan Lyles. Let's just say our projections are not a fan of Jordan Lyles. If you use the Daily Roto Optimizer tonight, you are going to get way more raise than their season-long numbers would suggest, because we are projecting that Rangers ballpark to play closer to neutral than pitcher-friendly. Some other projection systems out there have it more pitcher-friendly than we do. And then Witt against Steven Matz. I'm pretty interested in Witt because at 4,000, I don't think he's going to be a super popular spend on this slate. And Witt against left-handed pitching, I mean, he is just an on-base machine against left-handed pitching. So I really like Witt at second base and at outfield.
Okay, to third base we go. We got Guerrero and Escobar qualifying there again. Turner is hot, hit a home run yesterday. Jose Ramirez of the Indians clearly did not get a hit. No one on the Indians got a hit yesterday. Manny Machado was in the lineup for the Padres batting cleanup today. And then we have Cabrera here and Wendell as well, 3,400.
Yeah, so at third base, I do like the Dodgers tonight. I do like Justin Turner. I do like the guys they have eligible at second base. Gomber, though, is not cannon fodder, right? Gomber has a decent fastball. He has got decent control. I don't think the Dodgers are going to put up crooked numbers all night long tonight. Now, when they get in the bullpen, the Rockies bullpen, not super strong. But Justin Turner, our top projected option. Yoshi Tsutsugo, our top value option. I mean, maybe I'm just going to have to get into our back end, and I'm going to have to mess with Yoshi's numbers myself. But he's cheap. He and when he's in the lineup, he always has the platoon advantage, right? They don't play him against lefties. They lead him off, or they bat him fifth against righties. So he's always in there. Kevon Biggio, I think, looks pretty good. Maybe the move here, though, is to play Yandy Diaz instead of Yoshi, because Yandy is the better power hitter and it's going to be lower owned because he's always a little bit more expensive.
All right. At shortstop, Trey Turner has been leading off for Washington. Bo Bichette coming off the two home runs yesterday is up to 3,800 on FanDuel. Corey Seager, 3,700. Semien, 3,500. Trevor Story just goes lower, Davis, and lower and lower. I know eventually he's going to have the value there. And then Xander Bogaerts, 3,200.
Yeah, Xander, by the way, I mean, just pretty much anytime we can get these prices on Xander, we have to feel good about them. Corey Seager is the runaway play here. I mean, Corey Seager, when he is not the most expensive shortstop, I would. I very rarely play only one guy from a position across all 150 of my lineups, but if there was one guy I was going to do this for in tonight's slate, shortstop, pretty weak in general. Really, it's kind of Seager versus Bichette, Semien, and Turner. Story we don't love against Urias, and then the rest of the guys here are really not strong options. I think Seager's the best positional play of anyone in the night slate on FanDuel tonight.
All right, so there you go. Put Seager in for tonight's game. Let's go to the outfield. Mookie Betts, 4,500. Ronald Acuna Jr., game underway, 4,500 as well. Juan Soto, 4,000. JD Martinez, 4,300. Trent Grisham has been a great play in DFS, 4,300. And then you have some options like a Rosarena and some others a little bit less than that. And Grisham today leading off left-handed, Davis, against the Pirates in about 5 minutes from now against Mitch Keller.
Yeah, so I just a little appreciation here for Ronald Acuna. Over his last 162 games, he has 50 home runs and I believe 44 steals. I know there has been a 40-40 season at some point because I saw someone tweet it last night, but I'm sure it has not happened in at least 20 years, right? It's just because the game is so demanding now, it's so hard to be fast enough, live enough, you know, agile enough, flexible enough to steal those bases and have enough power and enough, you know, training enough with hitting to be able to hit those home runs. So I was kind of one of those people that poo-pooed the idea of, well, it was more last year, but taking Acuna over Trout. And Trout, to me, is still like, if I had one guy for 100 games and I had to bet on one guy having better plate appearances, I would still take Trout. But Acuna is the number one player in fantasy baseball. The Braves are better than the Angels. Acuna, better power hitter, I think, even than Trout at this point, and obviously steals more bases than him as well. So, yeah, just give it up for Ronald Acuna. In terms of outfielders for us to look at in the night slate, Austin Meadows, gonna keep being on him. The power is there. We're waiting for the speed. We're waiting for the batting average to catch up. A couple cheap guys here, Mark Canha. Joey Gallo, lefty on lefty. This is interesting. No one ever plays Gallo lefty on lefty, and his batting average is obviously worth against left-handed starting pitchers, but Gallo has a better isolated slugging against left-handed starting pitchers in his career than he does against right-handed pitchers, because it just, if you are going to throw a ball to Gallo that is hittable for him, doesn't matter if you're a lefty, doesn't matter if you're a righty, he's pulling that ball and it's head towards the outfield bleachers because that's the way he plays. And you can get Joey Gallo at very low ownership against left-handed starting pitching. So I love getting Gallo in against lefties.
Does anybody here on the show want to take a stab at the last 40-40 guy? 40 home runs, 40 stolen bases. Does anybody know? I thought it was Jose Canseco, but it was not. Jose did it. No. Sooner, Brett. Sooner since then. 2006, Alfonso Soriano, 40 home runs.
There we go.
46, 41 steals. So not that long ago. I mean, I guess it is kind of a long time ago, all things considered in baseball. But Canseco, Brett, was and Davis was the first one to do it. And they won the MVP that year. But who even knows if that was legit at the time, now that you look back on it. So. Yeah, staying healthy was never his thing. Okay, coming up, we're going to preview some games against the spread in Major League Baseball. We got a preview of the Red Sox Twins. We'll see if the Red Sox win their 10th game in a row coming up a little bit later today. We got the Indians and White Sox. Talk about a team coming off a no-hitter, how they may perform. And then, hey, Detroit Tigers have been a surprise thus far. And give credit to A.J. Hinch, that manager who did a really good job in Houston, is doing another good one here in Detroit. So we'll preview that game against Oakland. Also some NFL draft discussion. Also the leaders in saves and steals in baseball this season, the two categories that seem to be the toughest to grab in fantasy sports. We'll be right back. Go away.
Sports
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Several afternoon baseball games for all of you to choose if you head on over to the FanDuel Sportsbook and you live in a state where you can bet legally. I am still struggling here in Florida, not being able to do this, although I'm on the FanDuel Sportsbook a ton, waiting for it to be legal in Florida here. So hopefully that will happen soon. Nonetheless, let's take a look at the afternoon games, Davis. And boy, the Boston Red Sox are just shoving it up my you-know-what. 9 wins in a row. And they're at Minnesota today, and they're still not getting a ton of respect. Garrett Richards, who's done fairly well for them, is plus money at plus 136. The Twins are minus 162. And look, the narrative when this happens in baseball, Davis, is that when a team wins this many games in a row, people start to fade just automatically and go the other way and say it can't continue because it is tough. But they have won 9 games in a row. They're going for the sweep again today in Minnesota. Can they get it done?
They cannot. I'm done with this, Craig. Much like you, I'm sick of it. I'm not buying Martin Perez, Nate Eovaldi. Like, I'm not on board with any of this stuff. And teams like the Boston Red Sox, who have good power hitters, right? Devers, Bogarts, Vasquez, these guys, J.D. Martinez, these guys are solid, above average Major League Baseball hitters. But where Boston falls short, their starting pitching, bad. Their bullpen, not good. Bottom of their lineup, Renfro, Franchi, and Dalbec. These guys are all striking out, above 30% of the time. And teams like this that play a high variance style with bad starting pitching and high strikeouts but lots of power, they can go on win streaks, right? Because that's variance. That is literally variance being spelled out in front of you. And maybe the Red Sox are able to get to their win total because they're getting lucky in some of these bullpen games early on in the season. Maybe they get there. But I'm not buying it. I want Minnesota minus 162 today. Michael Pineda, a very underrated starting pitcher because he was supposed to be incredible. We do this a lot in baseball where guys who were top prospects, when they end up just being okay, we translate that in our minds to them sucking and not being good. Pineda is a perfectly fine, maybe even slightly above league average pitcher at this point because there are so many guys who are bad who are starting games. And Garrett Richards is not good. We know Garrett Richards is below average. So I want the Twins.
Yeah, I saw a stat interesting. The Red Sox are in this category too. That I believe I saw that through 2 weeks of the season, Davis, this is almost the all-time low for Major League Baseball batting average. I think it was somewhere like below 240 as a league to start the season. And I know that they're trying to do away with this 3 true outcome deal, but I mean, so far so bad, right? Like 230? Like you want balls in play to make the game exciting.
Well, it's just not going to happen because we have too much math and we know home runs are just so valuable and we know that walks are so valuable that, it's nice to get singles. It's nice to hit doubles. It's nice to make contact, but all of the B-plus players in baseball now, obviously, Trout, Acuna, Soto, these guys, they make a ton of contact because their hands are so fast, but the guys who are above average but not great players, they have all transitioned their games towards trying to hit home runs. It's all about launch angle and it's all about exit velocity. So just no one cares about hitting singles anymore. And this is what you get.
Yeah, no, that's maybe why they're trying to move the mound back, things like that. I don't know. Don't get it. Okay, White Sox Indians after a no-hitter. It's usually, the other team comes out swinging pretty hard. They don't want to have this happen 2 games in a row. I think it's only happened once in history. So Cleveland plus 134 today at the Chicago White Sox, Davis. And the Indians lineup we knew going into the season would not be great, but I don't think that we saw it being this bad. Aaron Civale, who's generally pretty up and down, more ups than downs, but not as consistent as you want to be. And then Lance Lynn, who's going to throw seven innings today. Like, we know that that is coming for sure. And the White Sox are actually in a pretty good spot, Davis, because if you don't have to use the bullpen at all on any given day, it means everybody is ready for the next day. So all systems go here for the White Sox today, that's for sure.
Yeah, so that's definitely true. However, I will say this is a pretty ideal spot to bet the dog. Two really good starting pitchers. I mean, Savali is a career 3.57 ERA. Now, he doesn't have the crazy strikeout stuff that some of these other great Indians pitchers have had over the years. You know, the Indians are one of the teams in Major League Baseball that just really develops starting pitching super well. But they have a little bit of that negative bias going against them because I got no hit last night. And Savali is a decent starting pitcher. Lance Lynn, you're right. He's going seven innings. He's going to get his seven strikeouts. He's going to, you know, limit hard contact the best he can. But I do like the Indians here a little bit as a dog. The White Sox batting order. I mean, the White Sox batting order just really tilts me. Why is Adam Eaton batting second and Louis Robert batting seventh? Like, come on. La Russa is just out to make my blood pressure rise this year, I swear.
Yeah, Yermín Mercedes is off to a great start. I mean, the Andrew Vaughn discussion is done, right? It's like, who's that guy, right? Like, he's finished.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's in there today. And, he only has gotten 24 plate appearances, hasn't hit a home run yet, striking out 29% of the time. I'm leaving the light on for Andrew Vaughn, but he hasn't wowed us yet.
No, and again, the minor league season is going to start in 2 weeks, and that's going to change a lot because players can play every single day as opposed to driving to alternate campsites to play games. All right, so the Detroit Tigers are one of the bigger surprises of the season to start for sure, and Oakland on the other side of that, I would say. But no respect here, that's for sure. Detroit is +140 tonight at Oakland, so Detroit goes from Houston to Oakland, and Tarik Skubal, who at some point is going to be a really good pitcher in the big leagues. I'm just not sure that he's there yet. Sean Manaea, we've sort of been waiting on and waiting on and waiting on, but hasn't really happened for him. Hasn't really happened for, honestly, Davis, any of these young Oakland pitchers, if I'm not mistaken. Manaea, Montas, Lazardo, 2 years ago, we could do shows like this and say, this is the next great rotation in Major League Baseball. That has not worked out.
Yeah, Sean Manaea, formerly of the Kansas City Royals organization, was part of a trade that the A's and the Royals made, and I remember being sad to see him go. He was the 34th overall pick in the 2013 draft. But yeah, Manaea, for his career, 3.87 ERA, has pitched 558 innings, and that's kind of what he is. He is a relatively average pitcher who cannot strike out right-handed bats, is good against lefties, and just the A's in general. AJ Puck, Jesus Luzardo, you know, all of these young guys. We've been here. How long have we been hearing about Jesus Luzardo and AJ Puck? I mean, 3 years, 4 years at this point. We've been waiting for them to become dominant major league starters, and then what ends up happening to the Athletics? Oh, Chris Bassett, you know, Andrew Heaney last year, Sean Manaea. It's like these guys are nothing. These guys are not great starting pitchers at the major league level. So I probably like the Tigers here. I mean, the Tigers have been feisty. Akil Baddoo looks like Mike Trout Jr., you know, looking like the best hitter in the American League at this point. And I don't think that the Tigers are going to be very good this year, but at least they'll be fun. You know, if you look at their order right now with no Miguel Cabrera in it, we got Willy Castro, Nomar Mazara, Scope, Renato Nunez, Akil Baddoo. I mean, just a bunch of dudes who don't care, swinging for the fences. And look, if you're going to be bad, at least be like an enjoyable level of bad. Don't be like the Pirates.
Yeah. No, and Detroit, it's been 3 years now of them being, you know, having rough times, I guess. That's the nicer way to put it. So I think it is time to turn the corner there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, with Oakland, it's always like those names that you mentioned, and then it ends up being Kendall Graveman or Mike Fiers. And they somehow get to the postseason. They have no starters. Remember that a couple of years ago too. So Oakland is not an easy team to, you know, sort of identify with. Right now, we got Miami taking on Atlanta, and Davis, it looks like here Miami is up already 2-0 on the Braves, and the Marlins have won the first three games of this series against Atlanta, and up 2-0 here in the fourth game, going for a four-game sweep. They've never done that in franchise history. So not really sure what's going on with the Braves. I mean, they're not really hitting outside of Acuna, and their bullpen is pretty much been a wreck since the start of the season. So, I mean, I suppose it's April and these things will equalize out. I still think the Braves have one of the best lineups, but Miami really came for them this series.
Yeah, I mean, look, how can you defeat a team who has Jazz Chisholm, who is the new Ronald Acuna Jr.? I mean, Chisholm just hitting doubles, stealing bases, hitting home runs. What is two home runs this year are off of, DeGrom and, oh, now I can't. It was like a cool stat. The other guy he hit, Scherzer maybe?
Charlie Morton.
Yeah, but Charlie Morton, there we go. So two very solid Major League Baseball starting pitchers. And by the way, guys like Jazz Chisholm, good for baseball. Jazz, he's fun. He's a good quote. Cool hair. You know, wearing the chains on the field. That's all the stuff I love. We need more guys like Jazz and you know, less Adam Eatons for sure.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was talking to somebody about this morning. Jazz, a couple of things that he said, like, are just not things that you normally hear players say. Like he said the other day after he hit a home run off DeGrom that it was like a light 100. So, like, I mean, I don't know how Jacob DeGrom will take that, but meaning that basically it wasn't really a hard to hit ball that he hit the 100 off of. And then he went on another podcast, I guess it was yesterday or the day before, saying that he can't wait to face Zach Allen and hit a home run off him because he was traded for him. And so, like, I think you're right, Davis. Like, those things are really cool and fun for the game, but there are some of these old guard, salty dudes that you just know are looking at this going, oh yeah, okay, you know, like we'll have our way too. So I agree with you. I think the quotes are fun, but you know, a rookie player, first, you know, kind of first season, first full season starting, going after the National League two-time Cy Young Award winner, and then the one who arguably could have won the Cy Young Award last year. So I'm curious to see this play out.
Yeah, I mean, I just guys like Jazz, I'm just gonna be in. Just in general, young. I mean, I like Acuna. I love you know, bat flips. Joey Bats bat flips. I miss him. I hope Mondesi. By the way, Mondesi, another guy who just does not care. Is not gonna show deference to veteran starting pitchers or whatever. Just gonna go out there and do his thing. I don't know anything about Bobby Witt Jr.'s personality. My hope is when he comes up that he is similarly flamboyant. The Royals, like, never have guys like that. The most flamboyant Royal of my life has been, you know, Hosmer would get really juiced on the field, and then Salvador Perez is a really good quote. But, like, it's a very, like, Kansas Midwestern thing for all of the Royals players to be very quiet and reserved and not great quotes to the media.
Yeah, Bobby's dad was a pitcher in the big leagues, so not really sure. And in the 80s, by the way, so not really sure that he'll have that, but we'll see. I mean, it could be the case. I'm all for it too. I think it's fun. It's just crazy to see, because you don't see a lot of that happening in baseball in particular. So good that these guys have their own voice and they're able to use it, for sure. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to take a look at tonight's game that brings back memories of championships in the 80s, and then of course the more recent one between the Celtics and the Lakers, a game that normally when this game is played is the marquee game in the NBA, maybe even for the month. But of course, with the Lakers still not having their guys on the court, it makes Boston a big favorite tonight in LA. But can they cover the points? We'll ask Davis that coming up next. We'll also look at the total updates on all games going on right now in Major League Baseball. Well, we return next on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah.
Manny Machado has been his third home run of the season for the San Diego Padres. They take a 4-0 lead on the Pirates, and only in the first inning. So that's where they stand at PNC Park. Let's find out where the Lakers and Celtics stand tonight. Marquee game played, Davis, in the NBA, where normally this would be a game that you got to watch, right? Like two really good historical franchises, most titles all time. But no LeBron. So Celtics are -6 tonight against the LeBron-less, Anthony Davis-less Los Angeles Lakers. The total is 211.5. And we're sort of slogging through, Davis, this, I got to be honest with you, this month of April in the NBA with all of these players sitting and not playing. But I know the playoffs are going to be great. They're coming very soon. But we are just not getting a lot of the stars on given nights in the league. I think it hurts. It hurts my interest. I know the baseball's kind of hurt it for me too. But it definitely, seeing these lines, I'm like, ugh, like another game where someone's not playing.
Yeah, I mean, this is the trade-off that the NBA Players Association, that the NBA owners made. They wanted to get back into the larger schedule so that the 2022 season was more like normal. So they compressed the schedule down, they cut off 10 games, and they basically are on, despite having finished last season so much later than normal. I mean, there was like a 65-day offseason for most NBA teams. So yeah, you're right. It has been bad. That being said, we're taking the Celtics here. The Lakers suck right now. You know, they just suck without LeBron and AD. All due respect, they're not good. The Celtics are fully healthy here. They probably will even rest someone. Wouldn't surprise me to see Kemba get the night off, but still going to take Boston -6 here.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I cannot back LA until they get them guys back. I mean, somebody back. I mean, I suppose that Brooklyn is winning without some of their guys, but man, this is one that I would have watched tonight, and probably not tonight. Total 211.5. All right, coming up next, it's time for our headlines. Chris has got them, updates in baseball as well. Make sure you stay with us. Stay on the grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on SportsGrid and SportsGrid.com. Easy website to watch our show if you're just listening to the audio. It is SportsGrid.com/watch, and we'll be back in just 2 minutes. Don't go away.